Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Every enterprise has at least one strategic asset, one existing strength that can form the foundation for future growth. Finding this hidden potential and becoming well known for it will grow the business. Robert H. Bloom calls this the inside advantage, which happens to be the title of his new book. Bloom has spent 45 years in growing businesses and brands of every size and type, including famous companies such as T-Mobile, Nestle, and L'Oreal. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
In your book, Bob, one of your chapters was titled, "Your Inside Advantage is the Key to Growth." When you said that, what exactly did you mean?
The inside advantage is the idea or concept or way of working inside the business that can be used to grow the business. I am convinced, based on my experience, that every business, regardless of its size or type or location, has an inside advantage. Sometimes the business executives and managers don't know that it exists. Sometimes they can't find it because sometimes it's hidden. And sometimes they find it but don't exploit it. So what you want to do is to identify your inside advantage and exploit that advantage in order to grow your business. I believe a business should double its size every 5 years.
Now, if a company isn't doubling in size every 5 years, what could be the cause of that?
Well, let me first say it's an ambitious goal, but it can be achieved. Like all goals, sometimes if you come close to it, that's better than not coming close to it. Sometimes it can be exceeded, and sometimes you miss the mark. But the idea is that you should use that as a goal in order to understand that your business has to grow. Every year in the United States alone, there are about 600,000 businesses that fail. And every year, there are about 600,000 new businesses that come in. The reason that people fail, according to the data that I've observed and understand, are twofold. One is that they don't have sustainable capital. And the other one is they don't have a strategy for growth. They, in fact, know their craft. These business people, big businesses, middle-sized businesses, giant businesses. I've worked for many of them, the Nestle, L'Oreal, BMW. I've also worked for people like Southwest Airlines, which was born in my agency, literally hired its first people in my agency. The whole Love campaign came out of us. And that's an illustration example of an inside advantage, how you could love your customers.
So the point here is to have that goal.
It's more than have the goal. It's do something about achieving the goal. Too many times, goals are written on the wall as ambitions. I don't believe in mission statements. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. You can have a mission statement if you want one. I guess Enron had a mission statement, probably a code of decency as well. But the idea here is I'm not into slogans and I'm not into mission statements. I'm into strategy. You need a growth strategy. I think strategy can be beautiful. I think of a strategy like an artist thinks of a piece of art or a composer thinks of a composition. To me, it has to be artful. Too many people define a strategy and write a strategy. First of all, it's way too long. A strategy should be 10 or 15 words at the most, sometimes 3 or 4 words. It should be a robust kind of verbiage. It should be something that's achievable but ambitious. And it should be artful, imaginative, living, and it should be renewed constantly, not left behind, but constantly made contemporary. The first step in crafting any strategy is identifying your customer. Start with who your customer is, who can deliver enough business to you for optimum profit. Who is the core customer that can drive your business growth?
Bob, a lot of executives might say, well, this individual may be my core customer, but there's this huge market on the side that might be interested in my product too. Can't we expand beyond this core customer to bring in other customers? What do you say to somebody who wants to go out and find people who might be interested?
My response to that is, do job one first. and that is get more of your same customer. It's doable. It is the fastest, easiest, and cheapest and most profitable way you grow your business. Get more customers like your current customers, and there are more out there. This is not to say that you can't get other customers, but I can tell you in one illustration, we work for Nestle, and Juicy Juice was given to us as a tiny little brand of almost no sales. It's a $400 million brand. What turned it around was we changed the who. They were talking to little kids about the juice that they drink. Basically, the kids don't give a darn whether they're drinking one or another as long as it's cold and sweet and the color looks nice. But Juicy Juice is 100% juice. We changed the core customer from children to moms, talk to their moms about their nutrition. That differentiated the brand. We could talk to moms very easily. So by defining a very specific target audience, it's a very thrifty way to go. You can talk to that audience, moms with small children. That's the who. That's how you define a core customer. Short, simple statement of a person that you can actually visualize.
Now, we've been talking about who, and who is one of the four parts that you focus on in your book. Tell me a little bit more about the four parts that make up something you call the growth discovery process.
Who's the first step? We've already covered that. The next step is what? What business are you in has to be defined in a very clear way. It's the most important part of the four-step process. You ask most people what business they're in, and they tell you what they make or what they sell. I'm in the restaurant business. I sell cosmetics. I make cosmetics. But that's not the business you're in. If you ask L'Oreal what business they were in, they would likely say they are in the business of helping women look and feel beautiful. They understand their customer very well. It's a female. They understand that customer by saying, we want to help women, because women don't want to be told. They want to be helped. A strategy should have really two parts with it, an emotional part of the strategy and a tangible part. The product is that tangible part. And the emotional part is what it does for them, what the customer gets out of it. You can't write a good strategy unless it's part emotional and part tangible. That's very important. So that's the what. The third step is really the simplest one. It's how. It's the easiest one because it's how do you sell what to who. That's the persuasive strategy. But you can't just do it in a vacuum. Here's the mistake that most people make. They sit in their offices or their conference room and they beat their chest and say, we've got a better product. It's a better hamburger. And everybody's going to buy it because of our secret sauce. But they don't realize that they're in competition. So always the how has to be done versus competition. So how are you going to sell what to who versus every competitor in the business? You have to think of your how as a persuasive strategy in terms of its ability to cut through competition and really be able to sell that product versus all competitors. That hamburger stand's likely to be on the corner with three other hamburger stands on the other three corners. So it's not enough to have a great hamburger or a great sauce. The idea is you got to sell it versus that. And the fourth step is own it. Now, own it is really how you become well known for your what? For your uncommon offering. And well known to who? Your core customer. You don't want to be well known to everybody. Too costly. If I'm selling children's cough and cold products, why do I want to be well known to everybody? All I need to do is be well known to the mother of that child. That's the only person I have to be well known to. And what do you want to be well known for? It's your uncommon offering. And what you want to do is to use imaginative acts to become well known to your core customer for your uncommon offering. What are imaginative acts? How do you answer the telephone? Do you just say Joe's Pizza Parlor, or do you say Joe's Pizza Parlor, three different kinds of cheese on every pizza? Why not tell your customer when you answer your phone what business you're in? What is your uncommon offering in order to make it more popular? How do you sign your emails? Is it just sign Joe Jones, or is it say Joan Jones, owner of Joe's Pizza Parlor that makes three different kinds of cheese on every pizza? What does the delivery car say? Does it just say Joe Jones Pizza, or does it say Joe Jones Pizza? Three different kinds of cheese on every pizza. My point is, all of these imaginative acts are free. What's on your business card, how you answer your telephone, what's on the side of your car, how do you sign your email? They don't cost you anything. But if you say those things enough, you become what you say you are because you've told people that often enough, and you can do a whole group of those kinds of things.
What's interesting about that is that it's something that an entrepreneurial organization, a smaller firm, would be able to do. They could practice the growth discovery process on their own, just as a large $5 billion operation could do it.
Yes, that's very true, because the big firm is really always configured with a lot of small brands or businesses. So each one of those can be developed, and the small firms, medium-sized firms, big firms, you would be surprised at the giant firms that I've worked with, big global firms, and no discussion of strategy. Our biggest competitors got a great ad campaign and a terrific slogan. So can you guys come up with a slogan for our firm? That's not the way to begin. And even advertising may not be the answer. It can be the answer. But the way to do it is to have the strategic foundation of who, what, how, and then a lot of imaginative acts, and giant companies can do that. One of the guys who really does it well, who does it absolutely brilliantly, is probably the father of all this, is Steve Jobs. This man really puts on an imaginative act usually once a year when he brings out that new product, and he stands in front of that camera and is on the front page of newspapers and television all around the world holding his little product in his hand. It's all theater. He's bringing out an iPod, and he's showing the world about it. This man understands theater, and that's what Own It is all about. It's about theatrical things, not irrelevant theatrical things. It's theatrical things that are very relevant to his product.
Very interesting.
A strategy, as I said, something that I love, I think is beautiful. It has to capitalize on your inside advantage. Every firm has an inside advantage. That's what my book is about. It's about finding that inside advantage. And the growth discovery process has one goal: identify that inside advantage that's within every company, every brand. I don't believe there's a commodity business in the world. People make their businesses into commodity business or let their businesses become commodity businesses. So the idea is, use the growth discovery process to find your inside advantage, and then use especially the Own It part of it to become well known for that inside advantage, but not to everybody, just to the people that are important to you. And that's why customer's the most important person. That's why you have to know what business you're in. What's the benefit you offer? Is it whiter teeth? Is it how the car performs? Part tangible things and part emotional. BMW has a great understanding of the business that they're in. They are in the business of selling performance. Performance to them is everything. It's how they make their cars. They could make it quieter. They don't, because when they sell a performance car, people want to hear that growl. They can make it easier to shift if it's a shift car. They don't want to do that. The idea is, this is a performance car. In a meeting, someone suggested that for this particular target segment that we sell it on the Status. One of the very aristocratic German executives who we were working with stood up and said, "Excuse me, we do not sell our cars based on status. We sell our cars because of performance." And then he smiled a little bit and softened a little bit. And he said, "Of course, if someone wants to come in our showroom to buy it because BMW is a status car, we'll sell them the car." So it's not either or, but that's what a strategy is.
We'd like to thank Bob Bloom for being with us here today. And the title of the book is The Inside Advantage. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview people at one of our centers. For more information on our centers and our seminars, please visit our website at amanet.org.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee, and I'm visiting AMA Seminar, Moving from Operational Manager to Strategic Thinker. I'm a public relations specialist in the shopping center development industry. Strategic thinking is a big focus of our department and our company overall. Like most companies with the economy, we're dealing with shrinking budgets and trying to do more with less. Definitely looking towards the future and trying to make sure that we are addressing all the needs of the company going forward.
The way the class was set up with the three small work groups was fabulous. It let us interact. The fact that we had to design one project and we worked through that project all the way through the 2 days really let us see things from different angles. What we've taken from this class, along with the fact that our boss just took a very similar class here at AMA, which was a 3-day class on strategic planning, we have an off-site vision planning meeting scheduled. So now we'll be very prepared to go into this vision planning meeting with the right tools.
I think what was wonderful about our instructor is that he's got a lot of his own world experience that he brought to the table, and it's very helpful when you have real life experiences that you can relate to.
My name is Ed Dvorak. I'm the course leader for 2242, Operation Manager to a Strategic Thinker. This deals with short-term and medium-term projects, and it's not the heavenly strategic planning. It's the day-to-day planning of functional manager needing to think strategically. It gives them an opportunity to get off the road and look at things down the road about 4,000 or 5,000 feet. In several cases, over my experience, people have come here in a quandary about what they wanted to do, didn't know how to approach it, and after the course, they've taken back the flip charts and things that they've developed to actually go back and introduce their project. In almost every class, there is at least one person that works on a real project and takes their project back with them because they discovered a way to make something successful back on the job that they got here.
What I'm doing right now is I'm copying down all the notes because I know I'm not going to have the chance to do this at work, but I just wanted to make sure that I captured everything. I got the unique opportunity to work on a real-life project that I'm working on at work and to use the brilliant minds that are here to help me in thinking through the project strategically. Ed walked through a series of exercises after introducing topics like how to develop the vision or mission statement, the strategic frame of reference, how to do a SWOT analysis, how to put together an IP matrix, and so we did all of those things related to the project that I'm working on. I was doing the project, but I was really focused on the details and not looking at everything at a 3,000 or 5,000 foot view and how it relates to the larger picture and what's going on with the healthcare industry or with our company overall and their objectives, and I think this helped me refocus on that.
It would be great to get some feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.